Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 5, Number 3. In the last edition of SNU, Volume 5, Number 2, I discussed the importance of protein and its significance to health, body composition, and human performance. The prime directive with protein is to provide the body with optimum quantities sufficient to supply its biological demand. This principle applies to all vitamins, minerals, and essential dietary nutrients. So the real question is, are you supplying your biological demand, and is the quality of the protein you ingest on a daily basis up to par? Do you know how much protein you need in terms of grams per day? You should. Do you understand the effects of cooking and how heat denatures protein? It ruins it. Do you know that most commercially available animal proteins are actually quite low in protein compared to the amount of fat they contain? Most steaks, for example, are up to 70% or higher in fat alone. Protein is much more than just a simple macronutrient with energy, nitrogen, sulfur, and amino acid value. Yes, it is essential to muscle growth and cell structure, but it influences our cellular chemistry in ways that ultimately affect immune function and neurological health. Clarity of mind is connected to protein and its quality. Protein protects us from infection and gives us the strength we need to perform with power. I think of protein as a special chemical messenger, a messenger that speaks to the cell, directs activity, and one that commands respect. I'd like to think of this month's editorial as a personal challenge, and here it is. Do you look like you train? Ask 100 gym members why they train and how do you think they'll respond? The overwhelming majority do it for the look. Sure, some will say it's for health. Others will say it's because of how it makes them feel. A few even do it to improve their performance in sport or out of necessity for rehab or medical therapy. Some do it to burn off their habits of indulgence. But most of us visit the gym for one reason only: to effect change in our physical appearance, and this is commonly done by pumping iron and sweating out the excess on the treadmill. The paradox, however, is that only a handful of those who train day in and day out actually look like they train. Never mind the ones that don't, their alibi is airtight. They don't look like they train because they don't, and this is why we are all accountable. Health and fitness and good nutrition is a choice. So what about the majority who train, but you can't tell by looking at them? They want to look buff. That's why they go to the gym. But the sad reality is, and I speak from experience as a gym owner, a clinical sports nutrition consultant, and a Canadian Masters champion bodybuilder, that what they have built over the years is either hiding under a layer of unwanted body fat, or they haven't built enough of what they need to make a visual impact. Let's face it, most people don't have what they want when it comes to how they look in their birthday suit. If you train routinely and it's part of your life, there's nothing more discouraging than when someone you haven't seen for a while comes up to you and asks you if you've been training. Have you been training? Or when you meet someone new and they ask you if you train at all. Isn't it obvious, you think? Don't I look like I train? After all, that's why I'm bloody well doing it, you say to yourself. Maybe it's them. Maybe they don't know what to look for. But then again, maybe it's me. Or maybe it's just because they can't see my physique through my jacket or my clothes. I remember meeting Frank Zane for the first time in Palm Springs. He won Mr. Olympia 3 years in a row. And yet, when I first saw him dressed in a casual suit, he didn't look like a stereotype musclehead bodybuilder. But up close, he oozed vitality, and his jawline was as tight as a drum. He also had that special look of a champion. So I'm not just talking about muscle bulging out of your biceps and thighs. I'm talking about having that look that you train, the warmth, the fantastic enthusiasm on a cellular level that comes out of you. It's like the heat is being thrown off. You can just tell that this person is in fantastic shape by standing beside them. Reminds me of what Dr. Franco Colombo, also a former Mr. Olympia, once said. You can always tell if someone is in shape by looking at their jawline and what's under their chin. So, what I want everyone to do right now is put your forefinger and your thumb together and go under your chin and grab it. Grab that stuff. And if there's a lot there, then check your abs and see if there's also a lot there. And see if there's a relationship between the two. And I bet you there is. It's a wonderful thing to have someone tell you how good you look. And it's even better if you're over 40. Maybe they're impressed with your muscle, your shape, or just how good you look in whatever you're wearing. Remember symmetry and proportion. You don't have to be huge, but if you look symmetrical, it's very, very impressive. And it is the number one criteria in bodybuilding. But there's no denying it. It feels great to receive such a compliment, and it's just one of the many attributes that comes back to you like a reward for all your effort and discipline. But the effort required isn't only about what you're doing in the gym. It's the effort you put into nutrition, and it's the discipline you must apply when it comes to eating. I mean eating with precision, eating with knowledge, and eating with pride. Recently, I received an email from a gentleman who writes, "Dear Corey, in the past, I've just worked out and jogged on my own with reasonable success, but because of a leg injury that started to interfere with my jogging a few years ago, I had to reduce my exercise, and because of that, I lost my motivation to do much at all, and now I find myself in fairly bad shape. I recently had an operation on my leg to fix the problem after being on a waiting list for 2 years. Before I started having problems with my leg, I was around 15 to 17% body fat and weighed about 205 pounds. Now I'm around 25% body fat and about 215 pounds. I'm 6 foot tall and almost 36. I would like to get my body fat back to where it was before and build some muscle and improve my cardio. Please email me with some info about how this would work." This was my response. "Although training and exercise is relative, the accumulation of body fat has more to do with nutrition and understanding your biochemistry and body type. Prior to a bodybuilding competition, for example, nutrition is everything, as the training, which is modified to some degree, remains a given constant year-round. Modification of the diet leads to modification of body composition. If you eat too much of the wrong thing, you're going to wear it. It is possible to be lean and not fit, but it is possible also to be fit and fat. There are many, many gym members who are fit but struggle with poor nutrition habits and disordered eating. Injuries are another matter, but optimum nutrition and supplements are the best medicine for healing." His response to mine was as follows. "Thanks for your response. You are right about nutrition. My eating habits are terrible. I'm hoping by getting into an exercise routine, my diet will improve as my body craves more nutritious food." How do you like that? Craving nutritious food. Most people don't crave nutritious food. "That's how it has worked for me in the past anyway, and thank you very much." So we can see that even though this individual knows his eating habits are poor, he feels that without the training connection, there is no point, or that he somehow needs the training to keep his diet on track. And I've heard this many, many times before. Without my training, Corey, my diet goes downhill. Down, down, down. However, whether this man trains or not, he has to learn to be disciplined when it comes to what he's eating and focused on quality and health and prevention of disease. Remember, the acronym for diet is discipline in energy transfer. Be disciplined when it comes to diet and think health, vitality, long-term prevention of disease. If you've been training for more than 6 months but have yet to achieve the aesthetic caliber you desire or your full potential, there's a reason why. It's almost always connected in whole or in part with what you're eating, and I mean what you're eating outside of the gym for the other 22 or 23 hours of the day. The other main cause is related to the training itself in terms of layout, intensity, technique, and progress. Each workout, in theory, should be a step ahead of the last one. I can recall taking an out-of-shape 40-year-old client through a 6-month training routine and really seeing some massive improvement and some great changes. First, we started with a complete fitness assessment at a local university human performance lab. That experience really motivated him. We discovered what his lean mass was so we could be precise with his nutrition requirements and supplement dosages. He also needed to see the facts on paper because facts don't lie. His arms grew, his chest puffed out, and people began to comment on how good and strong he looked, and he loved it. His waistline went way down, and his sex drive went way up. Yippee! His wife was thrilled. The diet I recommended wasn't complicated or strict like a bodybuilder in competition, but it was clean and fresh and whole, like how Tracy and I eat year-round, and how she teaches to eat in her athlete's cookbook. Protein shakes became a standard for this client before and after each workout. Refined starches like bread, muffins, and bagels were replaced with fresh greens, salads, and colored vegetables. Nighttime binges of cookies and ice cream were replaced with a delicious protein shake, and the desire to binge was modified by following an organized diet during the day in the same way he followed his training and exercise routine. He understood the sets and reps. So do you understand the sets and reps of dieting? Do you follow an organized plan? He paid attention and followed a game plan just like how he followed his business plan. He showed up on time, he exercised, he executed, and he did the work. Eating decent food anchored by low-fat, high-quality protein at 3-hour intervals made all the difference in the world. When this was done consistently, his insulin sensitivity improved and his blood sugar stabilized. When you do something right, the evidence is always revealed in the outcome. Success leaves a trail. Water was consumed throughout the day and always during each workout. One of the keys was knowing how and when. He drank 30 milliliters or 1 ounce of clean, pure, filtered water per kilogram of his lean body mass, not during, but before and after meals. He also developed the habit of carrying a water bottle in his car, in his briefcase, and invested in a home and office water dispenser and bottled water delivery. Hydration is a critical but often ignored factor. Supplements included a multivitamin and mineral, extra vitamin C and E, whey protein isolate, flaxseed oil, creatine monohydrate, HMB, L-glutamine, glucosamine sulfate, and a good potassium-rich electrolyte mix for his workout water. Just a solid basic program with the proven classics taken in the right amount at the right time. Folks, it is not complicated, but the application is a struggle. And it doesn't have to be when you have the right mindset, when you understand what the point is all about. It's about staying alive, staying well, and preventing disease from rearing its ugly head, because disease ain't no fun, people. Over time, he developed a connection between food and how he looked and felt. His shakes and supplements became just as important as the training itself. The lifestyle he learned was something he had control over. Food and training were equal in terms of effect on health, But when it came to diet, he realized that no matter how hard he trained, it was what he ate and when he ate it that gave him the look, the L-O-O-K, he secretly desired. People, you've got to learn how to eat as hard as you train. So, I'll ask you again. Do you look like you train? If so, then you must be doing something right, and hats off to you. Congratulations. You have earned a place on the pedestal. You are a champion. However, if you don't, then ask yourself why. Do you have muscle hiding under a layer of stubborn fat? Do you want muscle to bulge through your clothes but can't seem to make it cooperate? Maybe you'd like just to be lean and mean. And what's wrong with that? The important thing is to achieve what it is that you want so that you can enjoy the satisfaction. It really does help with your self-esteem and your self-worth when you look at yourself in the mirror and you like what you see and you know you've earned it. When you achieve that look of health that attracts the masses, the greatest value is in the achievement of getting there. Once you've climbed that mountain, you can really enjoy the benefit now of not only looking good, but in feeling great. When you're well from the inside out, it gives you tremendous confidence and assurance. It comes with a built-in feeling of strength and power. And when you do it right and have paid your dues, nobody can take it away. You're entitled to the benefit of praise and admiration from others because you did the work and you did it with the right attitude and the right motive. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Calvin Coolidge, the 30th President of the United States. No person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave.